Christchurch, New Malden, Sunday the 21st of June, 2026. 9:30 service. Stephen Kurt speaking on the book, The Air Pilot's Decision by Frank Colquhoun, as part of the series, Books by Our Forebears.
Well, some of the most telling things that we discover about people who are famous are when less public things about them somehow emerge. So we might find out that Princess Diana, for instance, often used to take William and Harry, when they were young boys, out at night to work at a homeless shelter. We might discover, as some have, that celebrities such as the actor Keanu Reeves and the pop star Taylor Swift have provided very significant support and help for ordinary people that they have encountered. So sometimes it's the less famous part of the story of a famous person that's actually the most telling part of their story. And at the end of June in 1944, a certain person from New Malden became extremely famous, with his face on the front of every newspaper. And his name was Cyril Barton. And his fame was because he'd been awarded the Victoria Cross, the highest possible award for gallantry by a serviceman. Cyril Barton was a pilot in the RAF, and his VC was posthumous, awarded 2 months after his death. And the reason why this story grabbed so many people's attention was because of the astonishing bravery that Cyril Barton displayed. Cyril Barton's Halifax bomber was one of many that flew on the night of the 30th to the 31st of March 1944 to attack the city of Nuremberg in Germany. But 70 miles from the target, his bomber was attacked by two German fighters, and their gunfire destroyed the intercom system. It damaged an engine of his aeroplane, it knocked out its own guns, and it punctured its fuel tanks. And the fighters continued their attack, and in the confusion caused by the failure of the intercom, a signal was misinterpreted, and three of Cyril's crew, his navigator, his bomb aimer, and his wireless operator, they left the aircraft by parachute. They assumed that was going to be what they all did. Now, despite all of this, and despite all the damage to the aircraft, Cyril Barton took the decision to carry on flying to the target. He reached the target, he released the bombs himself, before then making the 4.5-hour journey home. And as he returned, when he was fairly near Britain, the propeller of the damaged engine flew off, and petrol continued to leak from the tanks. But without his navigator, Barton managed to avoid the most dangerous defence areas in Germany on the return flight and eventually reached the English coast. But before he could find a place to land, the two engines on one side of the plane stopped and the aeroplane was getting lower and lower. And it was too low for parachutes, and so Cyril Barton ordered the three remaining crew members to take up crash positions in the rear of the fuselage at the far end of the plane. Now, he couldn't do that because he was flying the aircraft, and the last thing that Cyril Barton did was to make sure that he flew clear over some houses before he crash-landed the plane at a place near Ryhope, near Sunderland. And here is an actual photograph of the wreckage. And you'll notice that the rear end of the plane is relatively undamaged. And that meant that the three crew members who were in that part of the plane all survived. All six of them actually astonishingly survived the war. The three who ended up in prisoner of war camps, who had parachuted out, and these three who survived. Excuse me. But Cyril Barton himself was killed. Now, 96 British planes were lost that night. It was one of the heaviest nights of loss of the war for Bomber Command. But it was Cyril Barton and the decisions that he took that night that became famous. And shortly afterwards, another person who had lived in New Malden decided to write a book about the less famous part of Cyril's life, which was his devout Christian faith. And the person who wrote that book was the Reverend Frank Colquhoun, who had known Cyril at his church, St. John's, New Malden. Now, if St John's rings a bell for you, you might already know about it. Christ Church founded what became St John's in 1885. It was originally a tin building on the Kingston Road. It was originally called the Christ Church Mission Room. And from 1935 to 39, including the time when it gained its current building, so this was the time when the current St John's was built, its first full-time clergyman, he was called a curate in charge, was Frank Cahoon. Now, here is Frank Cahoon. I've only got one photograph of him from when he was quite a bit older. He was an interesting figure. He later on went on to be the vicar of two churches in this diocese that I've actually belonged to. He was the vicar of Holy Trinity Wallington, where I was from the age of one to the age of four. And then later on, he was a vicar of St Michael's Blackheath that I belonged to in my early 20s. He's best known for starting part-time ordination training. He started something called the Southwark Ordination Course, which later became the course called SITE, and trained two of our former curates, Helen Hancock and Carolyn Lucas. But he also wrote numerous books. So Frank Cahoon, mainly in the 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s, wrote books on prayer, numerous ones. Some people will have heard of him because of that. He also wrote lots of books on hymns. He wrote books on ethics and apologetics. That's how we justify Christianity. He wrote books on the Bible and Christian doctrine. And perhaps most significantly, he wrote the authorised account of the highly influential Billy Graham mission to England in 1954, when so many people in this country became Christians. But before he wrote any of those books, Frank Cahoon decided to write one about Cyril Barton. And he called the book The Air Pilot's Decision. It's a small, tiny little book, and it doesn't even have a front cover, so I can't put that up on the screen. But Frank Cahoon had been part of nurturing Cyril's Christian faith at St John's, and he really wanted people who had heard the story of his final flight and his bravery and the heroism that he took that night in March 1944. He wanted the people who knew that story to know about what he regarded as the even more important decision that Cyril had taken concerning Jesus Christ. The book is only 4,500 words long. I only found it because I discovered it in a filing cabinet here at Christ Church, but it eventually sold 10 million copies around the world. And it is a really good read. And the first and the most important point that it makes about Cyril Barton is this. It talks about the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Cyril Barton went to Beverley School in New Malden. That's now Coombe Boys. And he later went on to Kingston Technical College. And from an early age, and we've got a photograph of him as a mid-teenager, he was fascinated by flying. You can see him there with a model aeroplane. And after he left school, that led to him being an apprentice draftsman at an aircraft factory in Kingston. And he was 18 when the war broke out, and he joined the RAF when he was 19. And he was actually sent to America for a year to train as a pilot. Here he is, having qualified, before he then returned home and became first a sergeant bomber pilot. There he is, proud of his three stripes. And he then became an officer. But before much of that happened, and in his mid-teens, something took Cyril, who doesn't appear to have belonged to a particularly Christian family, something took him along to St John's. And Cyril attended its services every Sunday evening. He also attended a midweek Bible class every week. And he also attended a boys' club where boxing and other activities took place. But he didn't just attend. Frank Cahoon, in his book, tells the story of how when Cyril's Bible class teacher asked him outright whether he knew Christ as his personal saviour, Cyril answered with a resounding yes. And it's significant that Frank Cahoon later wrote that account of the Billy Graham Crusade of 1954, when, as I say, so many people in this country, faced with precisely the same challenge, became Christians. These days, we put a big emphasis on creating an atmosphere as welcoming as possible at this church, and that's clearly vital. But these accounts are a reminder of the equal importance, the vital importance, of encouraging people who come to this church to make that personal decision that Cyril Barton made to receive Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. And particularly if you've been coming along to this church for a while, it is good to press that question. The Bible says, as Billy Graham often said, the Bible says that God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross so that we could receive eternal life. That verse is often pointed to as the one that sums it up most powerfully. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But in order to receive that eternal life, we need to take the active decision to repent. In other words, to turn away from our sin and to receive Jesus as our Saviour and as Lord of our life. And if you've never actually done that, you can do it right now. You can do it in the quietness of your heart and begin that life of relationship with God that can and will bring the fullness of life that we all seek. And if that is you this morning, and if you are making that decision, perhaps after a measure of hesitation, if you are making that decision to belong to Jesus Christ unequivocally, with a resounding Cyril Barton-like yes, then do talk to me about it so that I can support you and pray for you as this big step in your life begins. That is the first and most important decision that Cyril Barton took, that Frank Cahoon wanted to draw attention to. But a second really important one is this. Frank Cahoon, in his book, draws significant attention to the decision that Cyril Barton took to witness his faith in Jesus Christ to others. This is a big emphasis of the book. Frank Cahoon records the details of how Cyril took a friend from work called Charlie from the factory where they were working to St. John's and how Charlie became a Christian. And he also talks about how Cyril was so keen to witness to his Christian faith that he not only became a Sunday school teacher, but he threw himself into an open-air mission conducted at St. John's in the winter of 1938. In fact, Frank Cahoon recalls how Cyril deliberately went out of his way to approach what they describe as some of the toughest chaps in the district, almost carrying them into the meetings to hear the gospel proclaimed. We don't generally carry people into evangelistic meetings these days, but apparently that's what Cyril Barton attempted to do. And one of the most moving parts of the air pilot's decision in the book, which really almost brings you to tears when you read about it, is when Frank Cahoon gives the details about Cyril Barton's determination to witness his Christian faith to the members of his crew. Christians that were going into the services at that time, whether it was the Army or the Navy or the RAF, they were strongly encouraged by their churches and by their vicars to send out a signal that they were a Christian to the rest of their colleagues on their very first night by symbolically kneeling by their bed for prayer. They were told, if you do that on the first night, you'll nail your colours to the mast, they'll all know you're a Christian, they'll know you're not ashamed to belong to Jesus, and it will be tough to do that, but if you do that on your first night, then you'll start in the right way. But that's a pretty frightening prospect, isn't it? That's as frightening for someone in the 40s as it would be for people now. And it's reassuring in many ways that Cyril admitted in a letter to a friend that when he first joined the RAF, despite all of his commitment at St. John's, despite all of him throwing himself into a mission there, in Cyril's words, he said he had flunked it. In other words, he hadn't done that. But in early March 1944, and the month is significant because it was the last month of his life, just a couple of weeks before his death, Cyril decided this was something that he had to do. Cyril had had some leave, and at the end of it, he met his girlfriend Doreen at a station in Harrogate. Whether she travelled up from New Morden and met him at the station, I don't know, but he met her at the station at Harrogate. And before they parted, unaware it was the last time they would ever meet, Cyril asked Doreen, who was evidently a committed Christian as well, to pray that God would give him the strength to do something that he previously failed to do. Now, Cyril didn't tell Doreen that it was for him to have the courage to kneel by his bed in prayer to witness to the rest of his crew or the two officers that shared a room with him. But Doreen nonetheless prayed that prayer that he would have the courage to do whatever it was that he was referring to. Now, as I say, Cyril shared a room with the two other members of his crew who were officers. And here are two of them. They're two of the ones who accidentally parachuted out when the order was mistaken. His bomb aimer, Watson Crate, who was an officer at that stage. That photograph was taken. He was a sergeant, for those of you picking up on the stripes on the arm. And his wireless operator, the other one, the slightly taller one in that picture, John Kay. And the story in the book's actually quite funny, because Cyril makes this decision that he will kneel by his bed to pray, to witness to them, and then the very first night, they're still out when he goes to bed, and he's got to get to bed, and he waits up for ages, and they don't get back. And on the second night, he's determined to do it, and they're already fast asleep by the time he gets back. But he eventually manages to do it. And in the letter that he wrote to a friend about it, it's very moving, because Cyril, who had flown 18 sorties over Germany, each time not knowing whether he'd come back, he admitted in a letter to a friend that the thought of witnessing to his faith in this way made him more nervous than any of those missions over Germany. But he persisted, and eventually on the fourth night of trying, he got the chance to pray by his bed in front of his colleagues. And what he found is that they treated his faith with complete respect. They stayed entirely quiet until he'd finished, and they were pretty quiet afterwards as they all went to sleep. And while ways of witnessing to our Christian faith have changed, that challenge not to be ashamed of belonging to Jesus Christ very much remains, doesn't it? Our reading earlier from 1 Peter reminded us of the need to, in the words of that passage, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And part of what we have to learn in 2026 from Cyril Barton back in 1944 is to pray for the courage to witness to our faith. It is reassuring, as I say, that Cyril found it just as challenging as many of us would. But that's where prayer and the support of friends is so vital. He clearly depended on both. And so if we have taken that decision to belong to Jesus Christ, either a long time ago or just recently, who are the people, perhaps at our work, perhaps in our street, perhaps even within our close family, to whom God is calling us to show a clearer witness to the faith and the hope that we have in him? It's worth asking that question. It won't mean kneeling symbolically by our bed necessarily, it might do, but there'll be some way in which we're being called to nail our colours to the mast and show that we're not ashamed to belong to Jesus. And the reference to the hope that we have leads to the final part of the message of the air pilot's decision, which is this. It speaks of the decision to entrust our lives into the hands of God. This is where the story of Cyril Barton's Christian faith connects with the actions on the night of his death. Because in many ways, his bravery sprung from the fact that he knew that his life was safe with God. And one of the most moving aspects of the story is the letter that Cyril's mother was given after his death. And he began this letter by saying, "I hope you never receive this letter, but I quite expect you will." And he gave instructions for the use of his money, which he wished to be used for the education of his brothers and sisters. But then he spoke about his Christian faith. And the details of what Cyril wrote to his mother are very interesting. Cyril was honest about the times when his faith had been tested. He was honest about his struggles with intellectual doubts, before he declared that God had brought him through this into a full assurance of faith. And these are the words that Cyril Barton wrote to his mother. "I'm quite prepared to die. Death holds no terrors for me. I know I shall survive the judgment because I've trusted in Christ as my own saviour. I've done nothing to merit glory, but because he died for me, it's God's free gift. I have the inner conviction as I write, a force outside myself and my brain, that I have not trusted in vain. All that I am anxious about is that you and the rest of the family will come to know him. I commend my Saviour to you. And Cyril concluded his letter with a reference to Romans 8, which he said had been particularly helpful to him. That's the passage we heard earlier, which famously declares that there are no terrible events that can separate us from Jesus and from the love of God. And of course, it declares we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. And if you go along to Kingston Cemetery, as I do regularly when I conduct funerals, you'll be able to see the gravestone of Cyril Barton with those words upon it. I don't know whether you can make them out, just below the symbol of the Victoria Cross at the bottom of that gravestone. When I go along to Kingston Cemetery, quite often I'm a bit early, and I tend to go round to the graves of people like Cyril Barton, try and tidy them up a little bit, although his is very looked after, probably by family members. And another memory of Cyril Barton in New Morden is Barton Green, which is at the Clarence Avenue end of Elm Road, and you'll also find a plaque there remembering him. Now, obviously, and it's important for me to say that, this, there are major debates about the Christian response to war, and in particular, there are debates, very sharp debates, about the ethics of the saturation bombing of Germany during the Second World War that Cyril Barton was part of. But in the middle of a complex, ambiguous, and frequently horrific period in history, it is reassuring and deeply challenging to find this story of this, in one sense, very ordinary young man. His life ended before he was 23, from New Morden and from our sister church at St. John's, who became so extraordinary through his faith in Jesus Christ. When Frank Cahoon wrote The Air Pilot's Decision, he wanted people who'd heard about Cyril Barton to know that the heroic decisions that he took on the night of the 30th to the 30th of March 1944 were part of the much bigger decision that Cyril had taken to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Saviour, to commit himself to witnessing to his Lord, and finally to place his life into the hands of the God who'd found him and loved him in Jesus Christ. So we can remember in this parish Cyril Barton with huge pride, and we can commit him to God and ask that he will rest in peace and rise in glory.